Thanks so much for being with us here again on the Derek's Dog Talk podcast. And as you know, we've talked quite a bit about dogs. I'm a dog lover. And recently, I think since my last episode here, we had Tutal on, and we chat about the latest addition to our Golden Retriever family. Yeah, it takes three, I guess. We have Vinny, and he's Russell's new buddy. We got Bo, the 10.5-year-old Golden Retriever. Russell, the 2-year-old, who's still a 90-pound puppy, and then now he's got a little puppy, Vinny, to play with, who's just about 10 weeks old now. And J.J. Gordon, I said It Takes Three. Well, J.J. Gordon's from It Takes Two with Amy and J.J. He has two dogs himself. And I should mention, we also have Dr. Doreen Winning in from the Vet Is In. She's a veterinarian here in Fargo-Moorhead. And she is on quite a bit with It Takes Two with Amy and J.J. And also Nighttime Live with Bob Harris. J.J., we talked so much off the air about Vinny and kind of the chronicles of him being a part of our lives. And it really works out well. Amber works from home, my fiance, and we got a big fenced-in backyard. The biggest thing I can, and we get this comment quite a bit whenever we post stuff on Facebook, is just how big Vinny gets, how big puppies get, and how quickly they grow.
Like, oh, he's so fast.
He has gotten so much bigger. Just 4 days we were gone, and his head almost looks like it's catching up with Russell a little bit. And Russell's a big dog, as you've seen. So.
Well, and Vinny's got those big paws,
oh, yeah,
too. You know, just stumble over himself a little bit every now and then on
he
those
used
paws.
To. He's kind of getting more coordinated now, which is scary. Because once that happens, then, well, going for a walk with three dogs, that's going to be interesting.
So I always think two is the perfect number for dogs until you get a third dog and you realize how important, because now you got a little pack at your home. Now it's not, this is my dog, that one's your dog. Now you've got that third dog in the mix.
Well, this one's
having some fun.
This puppy is Russell's puppy.
It's Russell's.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. And he is, I mean, here's a 90-pound dog who just loves having this puppy, and he plays with him all the time. And he's so gentle. And they just sit and wrestle and play. It's the cutest darn thing ever. Now, Bo, I caught him this morning in a picture. I'll maybe post it later when we do a little dog talk here podcast that I have on KFGO.com. But this is one time where I really saw Bo tolerate him being near him, because he has nothing to do with the puppy. He's 10.5 years old, and it's part of the reason we got a puppy for Russell, because Russell's 2, and he wants to play. And the old man's like, I'm in my retirement years, right? I don't need to be doing this, but that's exactly what happened.
Well, that's the way it is. I used to have a rule in my house that the animals can't outnumber the humans.
Well,
I've read Animal Farm by George Orwell. I don't want a revolution to take place.
Well, see, we're going the opposite direction, because we got Empty Nest coming up this weekend.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
so daughter's going to NDSCS. So
those dogs better get ready for some extra attention.
I'm hoping I still only have three dogs and a cat by the end of this winter.
Like, get ready. You're going to end up with at least one more cat.
Well, that's what I
guarantee you.
The cat conversation's already happened. Because I'm trying to convince her, well, the cat isn't going to like another cat. She's pretty territorial. And she's just getting used to the puppy now. And she hates other people that come to the house. Like, we can't find her for hours. When someone else comes to the house, she goes and hides under the bed. She's afraid of anyone outside of her family. So, but I'm not winning these things. You're so intuitive on this, JJ, that...
We had cats and dogs in our house, and I don't know if you're like this, but even though our dog was female and our cat was male, I always thought of the cat as a girl and the dog as a boy.
Yes.
I don't know why I think of dogs as guys. Maybe it was that movie Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
Where it's two male dogs and a female cat, but that caused some problems around our house. And recently I was petting a dog at the park, and I said, what's his name? Her name is Julia.
I do that all the time. I got three male dogs. Same thing. I do the same thing. And we got a female cat. I'm on the same line as you. And it's wrong. Yeah, you just don't think of males cats, right? And they obviously have to be.
Right. I mean, there's got to be some tomcats out there somewhere.
There's got to be male cats out there for obvious reasons.
I went to a fancy restaurant in downtown Fargo. Now, I don't care. You know, find it on my shirt or wherever in the shower. It doesn't matter. But I was eating at a fancy downtown restaurant, and they had a seafood bisque, which is my kryptonite. It's my Achilles heel. It gets me every time. I love it. And so I'm enjoying this seafood bisque, and I take a bite, and it's got a shrimp, and I instantly know that there is somebody else's
strand.
Hair. Yep, a wrangling hair, and it's twisted around this shrimp. Now I'm in front of a bunch of people who now have stopped and looked at me because I've got an odd look on my face. And so the last thing I want to do is spit this out because I don't want... Two of the people there were already kind of poo-pooing the restaurant and talking about the lack of service and da-da-da-da. So I muscled through and I swallowed this shrimp with somebody else's hair wrapped around it. It's almost like it was on a fishing line.
Oh, no.
And
that's disgusting.
Yep. And then so Jill leaned over and she goes, was there a hair on that last bite? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you know, you have to finish the rest of the soup now or everyone's going to know that there's something wrong. And so I took three more bites of the soup and I'm like, nope, I'm done.
Oh, that's rough. Hats off to you, though, for, you know, being a soldier, getting through it. Now, you know, they talk about the 5-second rule. I stretch that out quite a bit with some food items. Unless there's a lot of gravel on it where, you know, the cookie turns a little gritty, and then maybe I'll just have to throw it away. But I'm kind of a trooper with that.
If you can pull off a layer of something, it's fine to eat afterwards, right?
Well, you'd think so. Yeah. I mean, I can bear through it anyway. But no, it's something I try to get through because I figure... You know, my golden retrievers can do it. I can do it, right? Because the nice thing about you don't have to clean up after yourself all that much when you have three dogs. I mean, you drop something on the floor at the dinner table, it's taken care of in a quick hurry.
You know, yesterday when the people doctors were in here, we were talking about how during the summer we should be the most active we are during the year, getting the most exercise outside, but we tend to put on more weight because of all the extra things, the barbecues that you go to, and just those things that you do to put on weight. Do animals put on weight only during the winter, or do you see an uptick during the summertime too?
More often we're going to see weight gain in dogs and somewhat cats, but cats are usually sedentary year round. More so in dogs, we see weight gain in the winter months because they're outside and they're more active and hopefully active with their owners as well. But yes, I can tell that some dogs, you know, we love them to death. Really. And we're giving them people food. We're grilling on the grill and the dogs are getting little scraps here and there, maybe from a T-bone or whatever. And so we have to be very careful with that. And also remember, as your puppies, let's talk about puppies for a little bit. Because we know somebody got a new puppy.
I screwed up the whole show prep by talking about little Vinny, you know, and Russell and Bo now, yes.
We should be training them to eat properly as, you know, they're growing and getting them into scheduled feedings of dog food. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to give a little bit of human food every now and then, but be judicious about what you choose and everything in moderation.
So when it comes to weighing your pet, I only do it when I go to vet visits. Mm-hmm. But should you be weighing your pet at home on a more regular basis?
It's obviously easier the smaller the animal, but your vet is there. We have scales that you clients are more than welcome to come in and use. In fact, we love it when they just come in and weigh their pet and they can go without the dog getting poked or prodded or having a negative experience. So using the scale at the vet's office is a great way to get your dog into the office and help them to realize that not every time they go, it's going to be something really bad.
Can you catch a disease earlier if you notice a major fluctuation in weight?
Typically, weight gain or loss is going to be more of a chronic thing. However, hydration is one of those things that can affect acute weight loss. So if your pet is acutely or suddenly dehydrated, you can notice a difference in weight very suddenly.
A lot of people talking about this blue-green algae and what it's doing to dogs. In fact, I just pulled up, there was an environmental quality report that came out just yesterday listing bodies of water in North Dakota where they have located this blue-green algae.
How many are there?
Oh, gosh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, over 20, it looks
like.
Do they
list counties?
They sure do. Yeah, so Walsh, Pierce, Hettinger, Stutzman. So it looks like it's all over the place. And I know in Minnesota, I've seen it myself in Minnesota.
Right, and with blue-green algae, what we have to remember is A, stagnant water usually, though I think they found some, did they find some at the Jamestown Dam?
The Jamestown Dam, yep.
Yeah, so usually it's in stagnant water that's not moving very rapidly. Most forms of algae are non-toxic. It's the blue-green algae in particular that contains cyanotoxins, which can cause liver failure or neurologic disease, meaning like seizures. And typically, a lot of these animals will come out of the water. Dogs may, for example, be swimming in the water. They may ingest it. They may not ingest it and get out of the water and lick their coat and get the algae onto their tongue that way and swallow it. But it can be a sudden death issue, and so it can be very serious, and livestock producers can notice this in some of their stock ponds as well. Anytime you see algae blooms in the water, that's, I think of pea green or, you know, like pea soup type algae growth, just stay out of the water. Don't let your dog in there. Try to find bodies of water that are more fresh and moving instead of the stagnant waters. And this time of year, we always see this time of year in certain areas. And it's from, you know, warm temperatures of the water, phosphorus buildup, you know, from maybe runoff. And lo and behold, this algae likes to grow.
And it can last up until the fall months as well. So it's not something that you need to worry about a small shelf life in the middle of summer or anything like that. If you think that your dog may have been exposed to this, what would be a step?
The first thing I would do is get your dog to the vet. If you think, oh my gosh, or if your dog runs into the water and it's pea soup kind of water, get them out, obviously. Get them to the vet. You might want to consider rinsing them off, you know, with some water from the hose if you have immediate access. If you don't, just wipe them off to the best of your ability and get them into the vet clinic right away.
Are there other things that we're kind of seeing this time of year? You had mentioned mushrooms.
Mushrooms are generally one of those things. I've had a few dogs die over the years eating mushrooms, and typically they're dogs that, you know, have voracious appetites, and they go out into the backyard. There's mushrooms there and they chow down. And yes, they can die from mushroom toxicity. So the thing is with mushrooms, what I do in my yard, if there's an area that's growing mushrooms, I get them out of there. I take a garden rake and just pick them up with a garden rake and put them in a bag and get them out. And yes, more will potentially grow, but at least I've gotten rid of the mushroom toxicity issue for the time being.
What about rotting wood? So those dogs that like to go and grab a stick out of the yard or something, especially if you're in a foresty kind of area, any problems with rotten wood?
So I have seen over the years multiple things happen with wood. And my biggest concern is going to be foreign body issue because, number one, it crumbles easily. And dogs tend to get it lodged. They can get it lodged in the roof of their mouth. I had one dog that, oh my goodness, he would come in and he'd have sticks caught in the back of his teeth all the time. And so we had this, you know, special title for the stick removal charge for, you know, our little friend who would come in, you know, quite frequently for that. And then also getting lodged in the esophagus sometimes can happen as well. I've had them get lodged up in the nasal cavity too. So, you know, anytime your dog has bloody nose, discharge coming from the nose that looks like pus or anything like that, that's a good indication that there could be something stuck up there.
That is a constant battle with my golden retrievers. They just want to chew on wood sticks all the time, you know.
And, you know, we talked about grills and stuff at the beginning of the show. I've seen dogs come in with bellies full of rock because they're out there licking underneath the grill, and the grill drippings go through the deck and underneath the deck into the rock, and then the dogs are eating the rocks.
I think the rock's a delicacy, yeah.
Exactly.
Oof. In my house, sometimes they are. Not that great at the grill. Dr. Doreen Winning is in. If Sherry, you are on with Dr. Winning.
Thank you.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Okay. I just heard a little comment before about nails.
Sure.
And you said use a Dremel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so have you tried a Dremel?
Well, you're talking about, I mean, I haven't bought a product You know what I mean? I've always cut nails before, but you're talking about a tool deal, right?
Yeah.
A Dremel.
Yeah. So you can just buy Dremels, and I learned this trick at dog shows because a lot of the groomers there are using Dremels to trim dog nails. And you just buy a battery operated Dremel and you use the sanding. You know, there's a little sandpaper like thing, and you just work at the nails and you shape the nails. It makes them nice and smooth. And you can see the quick better. Like I can tell with my dogs, I want to get their quicks grown back on two of them. And so I just keep doing it every week. And eventually the quicks grow back or, you know, grow in towards the bed of the nail. Yeah.
Because I've always, I got out like a Heinz 57 dog. She is, she looks like her mom. She's part Basset Hound. She's got the legs of a Basset Hound. She's got the body of a Basset Hound, not the ears. She's part German Shepherd. She's part me and her. There was eight puppies, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then there was a yellow lab. But Lucy, her name is Lucy, her nails are so dark.
Yeah.
And it's really hard, so I've just been taking her to the vet because I don't even dare, you know what I mean? I don't know where the cook thing is.
So the key, if you're going to use a nail trimmer, I like the squeeze ones that the blade comes up that you can fit the nail through. Do you know what I'm talking about? So what I'll do with that before I got the Dremel is I would just whittle away at the nail on the outside edges. So the center, the soft part is still there. I mean, you obviously take a chunk off the very end and then you start whittling away. And it's very rare. And I can even get the quick sometimes. I do.
Oh. And but I would think the Dremel would be easier than if I don't, you know what
is.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. It is. You should try it.
I'll try
it. Go buy one.
And then,
I'll spend your money
now
for
I got
you.
Another question. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
So I have three cats and this dog, she'll be five. She just decided, I had to put her on a diet and she decides to get in the cat litter and she never used to.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty
common.
I'm
like, is it? Because I put her on a diet. She thinks she's going to eat the other product. I don't know.
Yeah. So the key is there. You really got to work at keeping the litter box clean or in an area where the dog cannot get to. So like a baby gate that the cats can get over where the dog can't get in there. Because otherwise some dogs treat it like, you know, poopsicles.
I know.
Yep. So
I'm
good luck with that. It's tough.
Never did it before, you know, for 4 years. And all of a sudden now.
She found a new snack.
I know. And everybody tells me that that's because he put her on her diet.
Well, good luck. And let us know how it goes, how your training goes.
I have asparagus in my garden. And she just goes and picks it out and eats it. Is that good or bad?
Some dogs do. The risk you're going to come up with there is going to be stomach upset just because of the fibers of the plant material. And so you might notice a little bit of vomiting potentially, but you know, if she's done well, I am not aware of asparagus being one of those plants that is toxic. You can go to aspca.org and look up.
I looked it up and they said it was good, but then now I notice she's been peeing blood.
She needs to go to the vet. Get her in. That she could have a urinary tract infection and that would be uncomfortable for her. So I would get her.
Would that be it? Okay.
Yep. Go to the vet. Get her checked out.
Okay. Thank you so
much. Good luck.
Thank you, Sherry. We have an email in here. My dog was diagnosed with IVDD, narrowing of disc space and arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
They recommended dog acupuncture.
Well, let me tell you, I do acupuncture on a daily basis, and that is getting to be most of my day now.
Really?
Is my acupuncture patients. Number one problem I see for acupuncture is going to be intervertebral disc disease, or IVDD, common in longer back dogs with shorter legs, though it can happen in lots of different breeds. And it's important, acupuncture is an important therapeutic control measure for IVDD pain. And I've even had some dogs that are, you know, they go down in the rear legs because of it. And in the majority of those dogs, we can get back. So yes, I can't emphasize enough the importance of acupuncture. And I learned how to do it because I saw what it did for my dogs. So if that is not testament to what acupuncture can do, I don't know what would be.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have got Ron on the line. Ron, you're on with Dr. Winning.
Yes, thank you. Hi, doctor.
Hi.
I just took, last week, I took my female mixed terrier breed in for her, you know, yearly physical and whatnot. And at that time, they administered oral Bordetello.
Sure.
And the day after that, she had really bad, well, not bad, but she had diarrhea with bloody stools and was throwing up. Mm-hmm. Would that be a consequence of the Bordetello? Because she's always had the nasal one before.
Yeah, so I have not. When we're giving Bordetella vaccine or kennel cough vaccine, we're relying on local immunity as opposed to more systemic immunity. And so the chances of having a systemic reaction to Bordetella are much less than injectable vaccines. So I would say probably not related to Bordetella vaccine, more likely something else, A, coincidence, or B, stress associated with a vet visit.
Yeah, right. She is very high strung. We had adopted her a few years ago. And at that time, she was on anti-stress medication, and she didn't even know how to behave like a dog. If you know, yeah. She didn't bark, she didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So I've worked for 31 years in a pharmacy and was able to wean her off of those, but she does still have some anxiety issues. Mm-hmm. So I was just curious because she'd never had a reaction before, and so I just thought, well, maybe it was a change in formulation or something.
Well, I think you're going to find out next year for sure, but I suspect more stress because it would be pretty rare to have a systemic reaction to Bordetella vaccine because we're relying on IgA and not the other more systemic antibodies. So, what I would say to you as far as does she need to be seen now? Have you taken her in?
No, I put her on. She's had a problem with, diarrhea for, her whole life, ever since we've had her off and on. And when she does that, I just put her on a bland chicken and rice diet.
And it clears up.
And it clears up after a day or two.
Yeah, good. So, all right, you got it under control. You don't even need me.
No, I just wanted to know if that could have been the Bordetello or not, because it just coincidentally, happened a day apart. So that was my concern. So, okay, well, thank you so much, doctor, for your help. I do appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ron. Dr. Winning just came in to 35270. My dog has DD disease and couldn't walk a couple weeks ago. She's been getting acupuncture and all but one of her legs are back. Didn't believe it until I saw it. It works.
I know. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I have a rabbit I'm treating right now that had a fractured spine, and we're slowly getting that guy back too. I'm hopeful on that. So yes, it works.
All right. We have Dolores on the line. Dolores, you're on with Dr. Winning.
Yeah, thank you. You just talked about a spinal problem and the acupuncture. Would that work for spondylosis?
Yes, because a lot of times what can happen with spondylosis is that bone can start pushing up on nerve roots. And so it can be very painful. So where spondylosis is, let's think of it as arthritis of the spine, okay? And so we can have some potential problems with nerve function, pinched nerves, sometimes even pushing on the disc up into the spinal cord. So yes, for spondylosis, I definitely would try acupuncture.
Okay, and right now we can't hardly do steps. We have to use a sling to get them steps and down steps in the back end, and now he's starting to have a rear knee problem as well.
Yeah.
Losing some muscle.
Right. And you need to keep those dogs, those senior dogs, active so they don't lose muscle. And that's the hard part. We got to get them feeling good enough to move around. Yeah.
And once a month we take them for chiropractic.
Yes. So it sounds like you're on the right track.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores. All right. This one comes into kfgo.studio at kfgo.com. I have a labradoodle that seems to battle constipation, then loose stool. Mm-hmm. Any way to make things easier for the poor little girl?
So one thing I'm going to preface this conversation by is a lot of times dogs will present for constipation when in fact they have diarrhea because they're straining to go to the bathroom. They have loose stool, colitis, usually inflammation of the colon, and it makes them feel like they have to go to the bathroom when they may not actually have to go. So keep that in mind. What was the question? I forgot.
She will be have diarrhea and be constipated and then have loose stool.
Yeah. So if we're wondering about treatment for that, I would say I probably would try probiotic, and you could also try just some benign things. You could try soluble fiber, like canned pumpkin, to the diet to see if that could move things along a little bit more. But I would definitely consult your veterinarian if you're consistently noticing this problem over and over, because there are some more serious underlying disease processes that can cause recurrent diarrhea.
Well, we're really dealing with a lot of poo-poo issues today. This text message.
Yep.
My German Shepherd loves eating cow or horse droppings. Uh-huh. Could this cause him any issues?
Well, so what those of us on the farm are really going to want to make sure that we do is routine deworming for our pets. And that means that heartworm prevention, we were talking about heartworm off the air a little bit earlier. Heartworm prevention does have an intestinal parasite control measure dewormer in it. So it's important to, I like to have farm dogs just keep up with that once a month, year round. And then most of the time it's problem prevented. You don't even have anything to solve.
Well, dogs will get into anything and eat anything. It seems
right.
Driving me crazy. My worst thing is they find the geese around Blue Eagle at my hometown, that delicacy for whatever reason, like get away.
I know. And then, you know, here's the back, what my, the back of my mind is saying is, okay, so we're worried about organic pet food and feeding them, you know, prime cuts of meat when they go out and eat poop off the
rabbit. I only like rabbit. I like what they leave. Great.
Yeah. So I, you know, my dogs out at the farm will catch mice and rabbits and that kind of thing. And I have one dog that caught a mouse last weekend and was bound and determined that that was going down the gullet for sure. And so I think about that. I think about tapeworms, and Sentinel Spectrum has a tapeworm prevention. I thought, you know, thank goodness for Sentinel Spectrum, because here we are.
When it comes to things like heartworm pills, what happens if you forget or you're going on vacation or something like that? If there's a week lapse, are we talking about a major issue?
No.
Or can you go a couple days before you're supposed to?
You're talking to the queen of, I can't remember my own medications. And so I have to have alerts on my cell phone. Mm-hmm.
Even given you stickers most of the time calendar.
I have to check them off on the calendar so I know that I actually gave it, and don't even look at my calendar because there's check marks where there's not supposed to be because I forget. So yes, there is a little bit of leeway, but our responsibility as pet owners is to give that on time as we can to the best of our ability. So try to do it, but yes, there is a little bit of leeway there. Don't freak out if you are a week behind.
All right. So there you go. Don't shame yourself, everyone. Even the vet forgets sometimes.
Again, JJ Gordon from It Takes Two with Amy and JJ from the Mighty 790 KFGO, weekdays 11 until 2. Catch all their podcasts. And also Dr. Doreen Winning, a veterinarian who comes on with us quite a bit on the Mighty 790. I am Derek Hansen. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Derek's Dog Talk.